Certainly, as children of God, members of the body of Christ, we should be a light for Jesus every day. Paul, speaking to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Our lifestyles should be so dynamically different from those of the world that people can discern the difference in us, in our allegiance to God and in our loyalty to Him. They should be able to determine that our lifestyle is different, that we have had an encounter with Jesus, that Jesus has impacted our lives in a positive and meaningful way. I want to ask you, at this particular time, how has Jesus impacted your life? How has Jesus made a difference in your life? How has Jesus changed your life? Is your life now richer, better, fuller, deeper, more meaningful and purposeful than it was before your encounter with Jesus? Are you basically the same as you were before you met Jesus? Has He made no meaningful difference in your life? Do you treat the people who are closest to you like you've always treated them? Do you relate to others in a way like you've always related to them? Or are things different? Are you better? Do you treat your wife better? Do you treat your children better? Do you treat your husband better? Do you treat your neighbors better? How has Jesus impacted your life? Brother Brown led a song a few minutes ago, "A Soul Winner for Jesus," number 93. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. What does He do for you? What difference does He make? I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day a soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus. He has done so much for me. The message of the song is, because Jesus has done so much for us, because He's made such a difference in our lives, We want to share him with others because we want to see him make the same kind of difference in their lives. So we want to do whatever we can each day to acquaint others with Jesus, who has done so much for us. I trust that we can all endeavor and strive to be soul winners for Jesus every day. Want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that is, that they his grace may know. I want to live forever and do his blessed will because he loved me so. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear him say, "Servant, you've gathered many sheaves. Receive a shining crown." Are you a soul winner for Jesus? Do you want to be a soul winner for Jesus? If you want to be like Jesus, you must develop a love for and a passion for souls akin to that which he exemplified in his life. He said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "I am come to seek and to save the lost." The board says we had 99 here this morning. You know, Jesus told the parable about the lost sheep. The shepherd left the 99 and went out searching diligently for the one that was missing. We have sheep missing. We need to search for them and seek to bring them back to the fold as a part of our soul-winning efforts. Jesus is still in the life-changing business. The gospel has not lost its power to impact the lives of men and to save the souls of men. The gospel is not weak and effete, but it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel has the power to bring about dynamic change in the lives of men. Jesus is still in the life-changing business. We want to talk about a man who underwent a remarkable change in his life. After his encounter with Jesus, he was never the same again. The man of whom I speak is the man who is described in the first section of Mark chapter 5. After he came into contact with Jesus, he had experienced a drastic transformation. After Jesus expelled a multitude of demons from him, he was changed forever. Verse 15 says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, many of them, sitting and clothed and in his right mind." This man needed to make a change. He needed to make a remarkable change. And Jesus had the power to do it. And Jesus still has the power to change the lives of men. He can change your life. He can change your tears into triumphs. He can change your rocks into roses. He can change your barrenness into fruitfulness. He can change your suffering into singing and your heartaches into hallelujahs. He has that kind of power. He can change your frustration into faithfulness. We can sense the power of Jesus to change the lives of men for the better when we consider his words of mercy, his touch of kindness, his glance of compassion, his embrace of firmness, his heart of understanding, his tears of concern, his prayer of anguish, his brokenheartedness over sin. And we can sense his power to change us and transform our lives when we consider what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. Jesus has used his power for many years to alter and transform men and women for good. A remarkable change takes place in the life of the demon-possessed man. He had unclean spirits which had hijacked his body and taken over the control of his faculties. The spirits that indwelt the man overrode his free will and took over his faculties by force. Indeed, the devil made him behave like he behaved. I don't believe the devil by force enters into men today and alters their behavior to the degree that this man's behavior was altered. Not in the same way. But the devil is still in the enslaving business. He is still in the controlling business. And he still operates toward the destruction of men. He still is making a drastic impact in the lives of multiplied millions across the globe. In his wake, there is failure. In his wake, there is misery. In his wake, there is frustration. In his wake, there is disease. In his wake, there is death. Don't believe that the devil has gone out of business. He's still very much in business. We as God's people need to be constantly aware of his activities. We need not be ignorant of his devices, because he can gain a great deal of control over us, although he does not come in by force and take us over. He does have a great deal of influence, and he operates in the lives of men. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let's consider what Paul says with reference to how he operates. He says in verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So he's working in the lives of men, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So the devil still operates in the lives of men and exerts a great deal of influence over them. This demon-possessed man made his dwelling among the tombs. He hung out in the graveyard. In reality, today, folks who are outside of Christ, they are dead in their sins. Ephesians 2:2. Those who live in pleasure are dead even while they live. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6. Those who hang out with sinners are hanging out with dead men. This demon-possessed man possessed superhuman strength. No man could bind him, not with fetters or chains. Day and night in the mountains and the tombs, he cried out, cutting himself. He engaged in self-destructive behavior in high and in low places. Brother Jones, you don't find us cutting ourselves and engaging in that kind of behavior. Men today do engage in self-destructive behavior, seen in drug abuse, alcoholism, sexual promiscuity, gluttony, tattoos, body piercing, suicide, self-mutilation. There are all kinds of folk who are engaged in behavior that is really leading to their destruction, leading to destroying their peace of mind, destroying their sanity, destroying their security, destroying their spirituality, destroying their happiness and tranquility. There are individuals inside and outside the church that engage in self-destructive behavior, and that is influenced by the devil. This man was isolated from humanity. You know, while dead in sin, people are isolated from God. They're separated from him. The people of God in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 are reminded of this fact. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. No one can bring us into fellowship with God and his people but Jesus Christ and his message of salvation. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This demon-possessed man was out of his right mind. He was restless and disturbed. And people who are in sin and allow Satan to influence unduly their lives, they are restless. They are not really happy. They are not really satisfied with their lives. They are not at peace with themselves and not at peace with God and not at peace many times with others. You know, Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21 indicates what the wicked are like. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you want peace, and you need to be in the Prince of Peace. If you want peace, you need to live for the God of peace, because he is in the peace making, the peace providing business. This man was out of his mind. His mind was not functioning properly, hence his dysfunctional behavior. In sin, our minds are also messed up. People just don't think right. And we can look at people and we can see what they are doing, what they are practicing, how they are living. It doesn't make sense. She must be out of her mind. He must be out of his mind. This man was out of his mind. When we look around us every day, when I get up in the morning or when I start listening to the news, I'm sure that a lot of crime has taken place. Somebody has been shot. Somebody has been killed over the weekend. Why do folks do that? They do it because they are under the influence of Satan and sin. In a very real sense, like the demon-possessed man, they are to a large degree out of their minds. I want to mention Anthony Weiner again. I just want to mention that he is a man that is controlled by sin, influenced by Satan, and in a very real sense, he is out of his mind. The mayor of San Diego, he is out of his mind. The proponents of homosexual marriage, of same-sex marriage, they are out of their minds. Those who are caught up in the throes of addiction of whatever kind, they are out of their mind. But Jesus has the power to change them. When we become Christians, God gives us a sound or a healthy mind. Our thinking changes. Our behavior changes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. A change can come into your life, into my life, and we can share the saving gospel of Christ as soul winners for Jesus Christ our Lord, so that a change can come about in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our co-workers, in the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our family members. And we should love the Lord so much and should love them so much. And he should have made and should be making such a difference in our lives that we are constrained to share what we have with them. No man could tame this man. Mere men did not possess the power to relieve him of his sad condition. And mere men today cannot relieve sinful man of his dysfunctional condition. The psychiatrist, the psychologist, the sociologist, the pharmacologist, nor the well-intentioned politician can transform the lives of men. Dr. Eugene Lawton used to say about Oprah, he said, Oprah's trying to advise everybody. She's trying to tell everybody how to live, and she's trying to tell everybody how to have good relationships. He said, what does Oprah know about having good relationships? She can't even get and keep a man. the Lord can make a difference in our lives. He's the relationship expert. He is the one that can make a dynamic difference. He's the one that can change us for the good. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus brought about a tremendous transformation in the life of the demon-possessed man. When the folks who had gone and informed others of what had happened, when they came back, the Bible says in verse 15, they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. He was sitting calmly in the presence of Jesus, his restlessness relieved, his erratic eccentric behavior was eradicated, his turmoil was tranquilized, his anxiety was eliminated, his insanity was replaced by stability, sobriety, and soundness of mind. Is this the same man? Yes, he's the same man, but he has undergone a drastic change by virtue of his encounter with Jesus. He had been transformed by the power of Jesus. He was clothed. See, earlier, this man was going around with no clothes on. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, which is another rendering of this same miracle. But the Bible says, and when he went forth to land, there met him a man out of the city, a certain man, this same demon-possessed man, which had devils for a long time, and he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. You couldn't keep clothes on him. You know, a lot of folks today, it's hard to keep clothes on them as well. And really, when a fellow is in his right mind, he will put on some clothes. When a woman is in her right mind, she will put on some clothes. And when I say she'll put on some clothes, she will dress modestly. She will dress in a becoming fashion. She will dress in a manner that is not inconsistent with her character and with her relationship with the Lord. She will dress in a comely and appropriate fashion. You see, if something is too tight, too low, too high, too thin, too short, it's immodest. This man was now in his right mind. This man had been changed from a stormy, restless, demon-possessed man into a quiet and submissive person. He was no longer on a dangerous downward course, downward toward death and destruction, downward toward doom and despair, downward toward decay and depression, downward toward disbelief, downward toward darkness and disappointment. He was now made over. He was a new man. You can undergo that same kind of transformation. You can be changed to the same degree. So don't ever forget that Jesus has the power to change your life, the power to make you over. Jesus can touch your life, can inspire your hopes, can direct your steps, can satisfy your spirit, can rekindle your fire, can restore your zeal, can bless your heart, can sanctify your life, can lift your burdens, can dry your tears. He can change you if you will let him. But in order for Jesus to change you, it is necessary that his astounding, life-changing powers work in harmony with your will. Jesus is not going to force change on you. Jesus is not going to coerce you. Jesus is not going to twist your arm. If your life is to be changed, Jesus will not overrule your will and force changes upon you. But you can experience the change. The matter is in your hands and in your control. You must freely accept the Lord's will for your life if you are to be changed. He gives you the free choice to say yes or no. If you need a change of life, a remarkable change, you and the Lord together can bring it about. The story is told, and you've heard it before, I'm sure, of an old man who was known for his wisdom, and various ones tried to test his wisdom periodically and tried to pull one over on the old man. But nobody was able to successfully do it. One young man got a notion in his head. He said, I have figured out how I can trump the old man. He's supposed to be so wise. I have figured out how I can outdo him. I will propose a problem that the old man will be incapable of solving. And so what he said was, he said, I'll take this bird. And I'll go to the old man. And he did. And he had the bird in his hand like this. And he said, old man, I have a riddle for you. I have a question for you. I have a bird in my hand. And I want you to tell me if the bird is dead or if the bird is alive. And he knew that the old man couldn't answer. Because if he said the bird is dead, the boy would open his hand and allow the bird to fly free. If he said the bird is alive, then he would very subtly crush the life from the bird and open his hand and show a dead bird. The old man thought, and the young boy thought he had it. He said, okay, old man, is the bird dead or alive? And the old man looked at the boy, and he said, with great wisdom and great solemnity, he said, son, the life of the bird is in your hands. Your life, your destiny is in your hands. You decide your own fate. You decide whether you're going to allow the Lord to inaugurate the needed changes in your life. If you don't cooperate with him, if you don't submit to him, he can't change you. He can't make the dynamic difference in your life unless you yield to his will. If you're here, you're already a child of God, but you know that you're not what you ought to be. You're not what you could be. You're not what you should be. That a remarkable change is needed. If that's your situation, the Lord stands ready to bring about the kind of change you desire. All you have to do is repent of your sins, acknowledge your sin, and pray. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you, that the Lord will heal you, that the Lord will restore you, that the Lord will change you. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we encourage you to become one. No matter what your background, no matter what the extent of wrongdoing or sin in your life, or the degree of unhappiness, the degree of frustration, the Lord can bring about a tremendous change if you'll simply submit to him in obedience to the gospel. He loved you enough. He died on the cross for you. He was buried. He arose again at the third day from the grave, making your salvation, your transformation possible. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you come up out of the water, you will have undergone a tremendous, a dynamic transformation of life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Will you allow the Lord to change you in a remarkable way today as we together stand and as we sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain?